Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of my precious brothers and sisters. Welcome to today's Manna from Heaven radio broadcast. You know, if we were to end the broadcast right now after playing that hymn, we would have already had church, because that hymn is a sermon in song. Well, it's snowing today. It's Friday morning. It's snowing. There are snowflakes everywhere, and I have a beautiful snowflake here in my studio. It was made for me by little Millie Cool. It's not a little snowflake. It's a beautiful, large-sized snowflake. And with all the snowflakes on the ground, I got to tell you, I have the best snowflake in my studio. Beautiful little snowflake made by beautiful little hands. God bless her. Well, let's open up our Bibles this morning to the psalm that we've been considering now for the past 4 days. Today we end our study in this psalm. As you know, my goal is to take a text or two of Scripture each and every week and to share with you what thus saith the Lord to us from that text. Manna from heaven coming to us each and every day from the benevolent hand of our Heavenly Father. Psalm 102 reads like this, and I'm going to read it today from the James Moffat translation. Thou will arise to have pity on Zion. Tis time to favor her. Her scattered stones are dear to thy servants, and they are distressed at the dust of her ruins. Heavenly Father, again we come to you, sitting at your table, the table that you have prepared for us long ago. We're going to consider today this psalm, and we ask you to bless us and to feed us, to nourish us, to strengthen us, to edify us by means of this word that proceeded out of your mouth. This we ask, this we pray, in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Today is day 5. Today is Friday. We are looking at that portion of scripture which talks about the people of God being distressed over Zion. Yesterday we talked about the appointed time. For the scripture says here in Psalm 102, verse 13, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. We talked about how there is a time for God to take appropriate actions, and this is the time. 2022 is the time for God to do what? To favor his church. The appointed time is the second gift that God gives to his church. The first gift in the text is divine mercy. So God will have pity on us. He'll look upon our misfortune. He'll see how he'll look at our spiritual state. And he, like us, will not be satisfied where we are. He will look and say, no, my children can do better. My children can do far better. I expect more spiritually from my children than where they are. And so we look at our own condition and we pray for God to visit us. And when he does visit us, he brings two gifts. One is mercy. Mercy upon Grace Church alone? No. God loves all his churches. He loves Zion. Zion is representative in the text of all the denominations of the churches of Christ. The Presbyterians and the Episcopalians and the Methodists and the Baptists and the Pentecostals, you name whatever group you want to name, independent churches, they all fall under the banner of Zion. And he will have mercy upon Zion, singular. Notice Zion is all-inclusive, and God will have mercy upon his church, for he loves them all. God does not prefer one church over another. Now, that God moves in one church and blesses one church is because that church has turned to God while the others have not. But that he wants to bless all his churches, indeed he does. So the first gift he brings is mercy, compassion, kind sympathy that he demonstrates over those who fear him, those who reverence him, those who confess their sins, and those who forsake their sins. And the second gift is the appointed time of favor. Yesterday we saw how God had an appointed time of favor for Noah. Noah and the animals were in the ark. They were in there for 150 days. They were pretty much going stir crazy and just floating on the waters without direction. And then all of a sudden, God remembered Noah and all the living creatures that were in the ark. That word remember, again, means appointment. God had an appointment with Noah. And God caused a wind to go all around the face of the earth to dry up the waters. And God closed the fountains of the deep. and the process of water reduction began, so that little by little, each and every day, as that wind was passing all over the earth, the waters were being dried up, and the ark was inching lower and lower down to the earth until finally it rested on the mountains of Ararat. You see, there's an appointed time when God will show up and do for his people. The same way we saw yesterday, we looked at another example as to when God showed up, when Abraham and Sarah were past age, and God said, at the appointed time, I will be back, and Sarah shall conceive and have a son. And of course, Sarah laughed. She found it funny that in her old age, God would consider her. And God said, did Sarah laugh? And it's no laughing matter when God promises in his word that he will have mercy upon his people, that he will fulfill his promises to them despite the passing of the years and the impossibility of the task. God will show up. There's a text in Habakkuk, again, that refers to time, the appointed time. It says here in Habakkuk chapter 3, starting at verse 1, a prayer. This is a prayer now. A prayer of Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk is a prophetic book. It's an oracle. But notice how in this prophetic book, the prophet merges prayer with prophecy pretty much the same way that in the psalm that we're studying, the psalm merged prayer and singing. Notice how prayer takes always the lead. Prayer takes the lead over prophecy. Prayer takes the lead over singing. So here in Habakkuk chapter 3, it says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of synagogue. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. That's pretty much Psalm 102, 13 and 14. And there's another scripture in the book of Hebrews which says, and this is speaking to us today, it says in Hebrews 3, 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, today, January 7th, Friday, is the appointed time. It is the time for God to favor her. It is the set time. It's here. It has arrived, and it's at the door. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Will that be said of us, Grace? Will that be said of us that God is trying to reach us, that God is trying to speak to us? Today, if we hear his voice, are we going to harden our hearts, or are we going to turn to God in faith? Well, today, Friday, we want to deal with that portion of scripture that says, for thy servants, this is Psalm 102, verse 14, Psalm 102, verse 14, it goes on to say, for thy servants, that speaks of us, it's speaking of the people of God, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. I want you to turn to page 4 in your outline. Page 4 in your outline. And here you have a picture of a church whose skeleton is still up, if we can call it that. The skeleton of the church or the frame of the church is still up. But the roof is gone. There's no covering, and no doubt when it rains and it snows and the sun is beating down, everything on the inside is exposed to the elements and to the destruction of nature. Here's a church with no covering. Obviously, people have not attended that church in years. Nothing's been inside that church other than little critters running around, perhaps squirrels and chipmunks and possibly a skunk or a possum or two, you know, have made that church their dwelling place. But no one's been there in years. And that's the way many churches look like in the spirit. Here's a church in physical ruin. And we must ask ourselves, is our church in spiritual shambles? The psalmist, the author of the psalm, who I believe is Ezra, a man of deep spiritual conviction, deep love for God, deep love for God's people, deep love for the things of the kingdom of God. Ezra looks upon the condition of the church and says, for thy servants. It's not just him. There's a handful of people. Notice what the text says. He doesn't say for thy servant. No. This concern over the spiritual condition of the church, according to the text, is not just shared by the author of the psalm. But there is a handful of people in the church also feel the pain, feel the anguish, that the church is in the spiritual condition that it is in. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. We're heartbroken over the condition of your church. Now, in the English Standard Version and in the James Moffat translation, it reads a little different than in the King James. In the English Standard Version, it says, for your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. The James Moffat translation says, her scattered stones are dear to thy servants, and they are distressed at the dust of her ruins. Now, of course, this is a physical building showing the physical deterioration of this structure. But when we look at it in the spirit, we have to say, hey, you know, there were a lot more people coming to our church at one time. At a certain year, our church was packed. At a certain year, I mean, you couldn't find a seat at Grace Christian Church. But today, spiritually, there are less people there today than there once was in its heyday. What has happened? What has happened spiritually? You see, and so again, there's a handful of people there at Grace. Great leadership, great membership there, a handful. And that's what, those are the ones who make up this servant class. Servants of the Lord, servants of the Most High God, holding out hope against hope, believing that God will visit us, believing that God will do something at that place where we meet at 20 Central Street in St. Johnsville. A great day is here, the day of revival. Remember, saints, when look, it says, again, in the text, remember what the text says. The text says, for the time to favor her, yet the set time is come. It's already here. We're waiting for God to show up, to do what? To start rebuilding his church, to add to the church daily as such as should be saved. That's our revival prayer. God, do what you do best, and that is save souls. You seek them out, and you save them. You seek them out as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I seek the sheep that for whatever reason have been scattered, whether through pastoral negligence or whether through a backslidden heart, because there are many reasons why people leave the church. Sometimes the pastor is the culprit. Sometimes the pastor is to blame. Sometimes the pastor and arrogance and foul speech towards a tender heart will turn people away. Sometimes the brutal nature of the pastoral ministry. That's right. Some pastors are brutal. Some pastors don't know how to lead their sheep in love, but they brutalize them and beat them down, and so the sheep leave. That's one. But another reason could be that the sheep left the Lord on their own. They have forsaken their first love, whatever the reason. And it is not, we're not going to form an investigation. We're not going to look to see who we can pin blame on. What we're doing is we're looking towards today, and we're saying God is here, and he wants to favor her. Her appointed time has come because we have deep concern over our spiritual condition. We love our church. We love the building. We love the grounds. It's a heritage. It's been something passed down to us from the founding church members in 1874. And now we're this generation, and we're looking to revive the church as God would have her to be revived. And that starts with us on our knees. So, are you concerned over Zion? Who is Zion today? Who are these stones and who are these dust particles that here the psalmist is talking about? Well, if we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, we are these stones. Every person who once came to the church are those stones. It says here in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 6, ye also as lively stones. Why are they lively? Well, because the Holy Spirit abides in each stone. We are the temple. We are the habitation of the Spirit of God. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. What does a priesthood do? A priesthood intercedes. The main role of a priest, the main role of an Old Testament priest and a New Testament priest, because we believe in the priesthood of all believers, is that of prayer. So it says, as a holy priesthood, you're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. There you go again, Zion. What is Zion? The church. Zion is Christianity, and he laid in Christianity a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That precious cornerstone in Zion is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are the stones. We are the dust particles that make up this church structure in the spirit, and God wants to revive his church. He wants to bring wayward saints back to his house, and all we got to do is believe that he's about to do it and continue to pray and await with great anticipation his divine visitation. Well, saints, that does it for this week. Now, tomorrow, I will be in studio tomorrow to do our first Sunday school class. Now, we have two Sunday school classes back-to-back. I'm doing one tomorrow, Saturday, because it is the introduction to what we're going to be doing for the next 52 weeks on Sunday. So you're going to have your first Sunday school class on Saturday. Again, short introduction as to what we're doing and where we're going and what we're going to be talking about. And then Sunday is the one-hour class. So you're going to have two Sunday school classes only for this week, just to prep us and to get us ready and pointed in the right direction as to where we're going for all of 2022. Well, until tomorrow, may the Lord bless you. I want to end today's broadcast with the beautiful hymn, God Will Take Care of You. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of Zion. God bless you, my beloved brothers and sisters.
Be not dismayed, whatever may come, God will take care.